Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great to have you with us. Speeding towards the weekend on a Friday Junior, as Dylan likes to call it. Coming up in our final hour, well, look who we have here. Some shows save the big guns for Friday, not us. We're bringing in our good friend Chris Mack to talk Bengals Steelers, maybe some Penn State talk as well. We'll have our own preview of tonight's Thursday Night Football game in 20 minutes, and the Donkster is along at 8:40. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium as we stream our final hour. We're doing that on X as well. If you want to stream yourself, easy to do. Just go to ValleySportsLive.com or download the Bally Sports Live app. It's been too long since we talked to our next guest. Here he is. Host of the Caboli and Mac podcast. You can see him on the BetMGM network as well. It is our good friend, Chris Mack. Come on, look at this.
Oh.
Single guy. Oh, two people. There he is. Chris,
hello,
how you
friend.
Doing?
A couple claps.
Quick question. Yeah, we got a couple claps in there. Are you aware, as someone who has kids who are right in the middle of this, of the whole 6'7 thing? That
I,
is
yeah,
really...
You have I have make. A 12-and-a-half-year-old son
there we
who's
go.
In seventh grade.
Yes,
every,
okay.
Every opportunity, especially in the midst of math homework,
is an
opportunity to bring up 6'7", which, you know, I was really shocked that the Steelers-Bengals line would just sit at 5.5 the way it has all week. I thought it would get to 6'7".
There it is.
I knew
there
that
is.
Was coming.
Yes.
Boo!
Oh, yeah. Get it in there. Loved it. I saw it, and I was like, bring it. Bring it. Hit me head on with it.
If there's anybody not. Who's like, down for cheesy cultural references, guys, you know on. It's this guy right here.
I just have a problem with it because it has no meaning. Like, at least, like, our generation did, like, oh, 6'9", nice. Like, at least there's a meaning
well,
to that. Like, I
we're
understand
also
it's not
from
great
a generation,
meaning, but...
Chelsea, that strung out the waza for about a year and a half too long.
That's true.
After those commercials.
But that was... That was an actual reference, though, and you would say that as a greeting to people. Like, you used it in a logical sense. Like, 6'7 has no context.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with this generation's ability to turn just nonsense into their catchphrases, like skibbity and riz and all that. I don't know.
Oh, God. I don't even want to be alive anymore. God, can we talk
Jesus.
About football?
I guess.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The Bengals and the Browns, both very Ohio. I mean,
yeah.
Mm.
All right, Chris.
Well, and I was saying this, like, it's the battle of the old guys tonight. Like, it's not going to be a bunch of skibbity-doo and riz between Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers, at least. Like, at least we will get none of Gen Z's nonsense tonight.
No.
So a 5.5-point spread. So I think our first question is, 5.5 points, divisional matchup. Does it feel like too much?
No, I think it's just about on target because, in all seriousness, if you do get to the 6-7, seriously,
oh,
I think it's too much in a divisional game, especially a road Thursday night game in the division. I think that does get to be pushing it just a little too much. Now, let's be clear. The Bengals without Burrow are a disaster, and that it doesn't even speak of their defense, and we'll see if Trey Hendrickson's actually able to play tonight, even if he is. He's the only player of import on that side of the ball, really. And the Steelers' offense, for what it's worth, has started to find a little bit of an identity, right? So I think what you're seeing from them is a willingness under Arthur Smith to kind of lean into your typical Arthur Smith game plan, which may not be very sexy and exciting, but you're going to get multiple tight ends. You're going to get that jumbo sixth offensive lineman package that they've used pretty effectively the last two games. And so they're going to commit to using those players. Darnell Washington, who we've been talking about here in Pittsburgh for a couple of years, the giant tight end they drafted out of Georgia a couple of years ago, has been has really started to come into his own, and they're showing an ability and a willingness to use him even more so than Pat Freiermuth or Jonnu Smith. So if you're looking for an anytime touchdown, Darnell would not be a bad look. I really think the Steelers offense is starting to lean into that identity of, okay, and they would never phrase it this way, but let's not ask Aaron to do too much. Let's not put the whole game on his shoulders. That term game manager is a pejorative. We know that in the modern day NFL, but that's all they need Rodgers to be. The intelligent 40-year-old quarterback who walks out there, has seen everything, knows how to react to it, and actually has some protection in front of him to do what he wants to do, which they've improved upon in the last few games as well.
Chris, Steelers are 4-1, but how good is Pittsburgh really? I don't mean that to sound derisive, but you know, I think that record based on the weakness of the division might be a little bit of a misnomer.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, Jenks. And I think the two top teams that weren't expected to be at the top of the AFC this early in the year, the Colts and the Steelers, are going to have a lot of questions answered about them in the next few weeks, including when they meet each other in a couple of weeks here. I think we're going to learn if these teams are for real or if they've just padded their records early on by doing what they need to do and playing bad teams who don't know how to do what they need to do or can't do what they need to do. You look at Indy's schedule over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, they've got the Chargers this weekend. Probably a test for the Chargers as well, right, given all the offensive line injuries. And then once they host Tennessee, they come to Pittsburgh. They've got Atlanta over in Germany, and after the bye week, they get KC, Houston, Jacksonville, Seattle, San Francisco. So we're going to learn a lot about Indy over the next month to 6 weeks. Same goes for the Steelers, because after this Cincy game, they host Green Bay in prime time. They get the Colts. They get the Chargers. They've still got the Bills and what by then may be a healthy Ravens squad on the schedule twice in the back third of the season. So I think it's a fair question to ask. I think what we've seen from the Steelers is, like I said, a willingness to start to find that Arthur Smith kind of identity on offense. And on defense, they're doing what you expect from a Steelers defense. They're taking down the opposing quarterback. They're forcing turnovers. It saved a game for them in New England earlier this year. So don't ask the quarterback to do too much. Lean on your tight end.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the offensive side, and let's not forget they still have DK Metcalf available to them. And then on defense, just let TJ Watt and Cam Hayward and Jalen Ramsey make plays. Ramsey had 2 sacks last week. They're moving him all over the field. They're starting to get, which was not really a hallmark of Mike Tomlin-led defenses since Dick LeBeau was pushed out of town a while back. They hadn't relied on a lot of creative pressures to get to the quarterback. They've gotten more creative in the last couple of weeks, as we saw with Jalen Ramsey coming off the slot to blitz. Nick Herbig, who is their third edge behind Watt and Alex Highsmith, they put him on the field at the same time as Watt and Highsmith a couple times since Highsmith came back last week. So they're getting more creative on that side of the ball, and that especially, whether you're talking about a rookie quarterback like they faced last week in Dylan Gabriel on the Browns, or I think an older, less mobile quarterback like Flacco tonight can create some chaos for the opposing offense.
All right, so Mama wants a same game parlay. So can you help me build some legs of this? Like, what are some good props? Like, normally you see a total of 43.5, you're like, uh-oh, maybe not a great game for props. But I do think there are some guys that are maybe worth considering. Like, I was looking at DK Metcalf. It feels very obvious because he's had back-to-back great games. But, like, what are some legs that we should throw in our same-game parlays?
I think if there's a DK prop that you like, I wouldn't hesitate for a second to put that in there. Rodgers, he's become Rodgers' go-to guy. They've had a good chemistry, really, since the start of training camp. A couple of the throws that you saw to DK against Cleveland were the same exact things we saw them working on way back in training camp at St. Vincent College back in July and August. So they've found a rhythm there. Rodgers knows he can go to him. Rodgers missed him once on a deep ball Or I guess you could argue maybe Metcalf didn't work back to it the way he should have, but they had an opportunity for one of those against Cleveland as well. And this isn't a Bengals secondary that's going to light your hair on fire. It's not really going to inspire you. So DK is a look. I mentioned Darnell Washington for an anytime touchdown. Mm-hmm. I would take a look at his props as well. And I wouldn't have a problem with the under in this game. I mean, again, we're talking about a Steelers defense against a 40-something-year-old Joe Flacco. They do have all of their corners healthy and available, Pittsburgh. Joey Porter Jr., I mentioned Ramsey, Darius Slay. The one thing to keep an eye on, I don't know if it'll be as much of an effect against a Bengals offense whose tight ends are a bit beat up right now, but Deshaun Elliott did not make the trip to Cincinnati. It's a non-injury related reason, so we may get a Chris Jones situation where whatever the personal issue that gets worked out, he runs onto the field for introductions after getting to the stadium 15 minutes before game time. I don't know about that, but Elliott has been, when he was out, the defense really struggled, and since he's come back, he's been the key to unlocking a lot of big plays in that secondary. So I would keep an eye on that. But if you're looking for a Steelers same game parlay, Metcalf is a good look. Darnell Washington is a good look. And despite all that, I'd still lean under, especially that we've got a number approaching the mid-40s.
Chris, I wanted to ask you about Penn State.
Huh. So do you have to, Jenks?
I don't, but... You know, if we can talk 6-7, we can talk Penn State.
Yeah.
So,
both James equally Franklin. Atrocious right both, now. The 6-7 yes, me and Penn State football.
So, why couldn't James Franklin win big games? Does he just not have it in him? And who is the next head coach in Happy Valley?
I think it was just a matter of James Franklin is a very good program builder. We know what he did at Vandy years ago, right? And I think he did a similar thing at Penn State. He really did build the program back to national prominence. Bill O'Brien gets a ton of credit for keeping it afloat. James Franklin built it back to national prominence. And a lot of us in the Penn State fan base, I think, have been sure to make that point over the last 5 days. He gets credit for that. He does. But he was never going to be the guy who took that final ascent to the peak, right? Mm-hmm. He's proven that with the record against top 10 teams and in big games. I don't know why he could never get that response from his players or why he froze in those moments. That's something for him to figure out at his next stop, which hopefully comes sooner rather than later so it lessens the buyout. But I think, you know, look, the initial reaction is there a way to poach Kurt Cignetti from Indiana? That's been brought up not just because Kurt Cignetti has done an amazing job at Indiana, not just because it's a Big Ten school, but because Kurt's from Western PA. He gets the football ethos of Western PA, and I think you offer a guy from Western PA a boatload of money to coach at Penn State, it's going to be very enticing. So the one problem with that is I've talked to some Penn State insiders is, he's 64. He's a great coach. He's done a fantastic job, but how long is he going to be around for this gig? You know, this is still something they want to be a long-term solution, which is why Matt Rhule's name comes into the conversation. He's from State College. He went to Penn State. He's got a great relationship with the AD. Pat Kraft is literally one of Matt Rhule's best friends. The question there is, do you want to go back and bleep where you eat? In other words, Matt Rhule can go back to State College. He can go back home any weekend in the offseason, get slaps on the back, and everybody's like, hey, you're doing a great job, man. It'd be awesome if you were here. And everybody thinks about what would it be like if Matt were here in State College and coaching Penn State. What happens if he goes back and it doesn't go well? I think every head coach thinks that they can solve all the problems for any program. They don't really focus on that part, but it's got to be in the back of his mind. What if I go back home and it doesn't go well? What's that going to be like when I go back for the holidays or in the offseason? Am I still going to get that warm kind of welcome if I'm at Penn State for 3 years and things tank?
Yeah, that's a good point. Going to be fascinating to watch. Who are they going to bring in? And I did not realize that Cignetti had ties to Pennsylvania as well, so that's something to watch. You can check him out as host of the Caboli and Mac podcast, host on the BetMGM Network. Check him out on Y108 in Pittsburgh as well. And when it comes to Generation Alpha, this guy knows all of the terms. It is Chris Mack.
Skibbity Rins.
Chelsea loves it.
Thank you, buddy.
When will it end?
Damn it.
Speaking of age, let me ask you this, Jinx.
Oh, God.
Do you think 64 is too old to start, like, at a program? Like, I hadn't even thought of this. Like, 64 and the way that Kurt Cignetti, like, carries himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like an old guy to me. Like,
no.
I feel like now in today's day and age, like, if you take care of yourself, you can definitely last longer. But, like, I think it would still be worth it. Like, even if you get 5 years from him.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know.
No, even if it's just getting the program on the right track. Like, Nick Saban is 73. He retired a couple seasons ago. He did it as good as you can do it late into his career. Pete Carroll's in the NFL. So, yeah, I don't think it's too old at all. Coming up next here on the show, we know what Chris Mack thinks. Now find out which side, maybe a prop that's getting our money tonight in Cincinnati. Our Thursday Night Football preview is next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.